Hey guys, welcome to the show today. I am so excited to have you here on this episode today. I'm going to be speaking with attorney Thomas Renz. He is just destroying the COVID narrative and he's fighting for your freedom. He's fighting for my freedom. And one thing we're going to talk about today is something that the justice courts just don't want to look at the evidence at all. And that doesn't serve you or me because they need to be unbiased and justice needs to be fair. So before we get started, I wanted to share this article that came out of the Epoch Times, and it was just like a perfect article that came out with the topic that we're going to be talking about with attorney Michael or Tom, sorry, attorney Thomas Renz in just a second. But this article says the Supreme Court rejects bid for religious opt-out from COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And I think that is horrible because doesn't that violate our constitutional right for religious freedoms? The Supreme Court justice on February 22nd rejected a bid by healthcare workers in Maine to block the state's COVID-19 mandates. A justice declined to hear arguments. Listen to this. This is what I wanted to talk about, focus on right here. Justices declined to hear arguments for and against an appeals court decision that left the mandate, which affects healthcare workers in Maine, intact. Folks, our Justice Department, our courts are refusing to hear evidence. They refused to hear evidence on the 2020 election. Refused. There was evidence, they didn't want to look at it. And now they're doing it with COVID. At least six justices rejected the writ of Sir, I don't know how to say that name. At least six justices re rejected a writ to, or request to review the lower court's decision denying the preliminary injunction. How each justice voted wasn't made public. It's very disappointing to see the courts ignoring the clear injustice. Matthew Staver, chairman of Liberty Counsel and legal group representing the petitioners, told the Epoch Times. We thought it was a great case for the court to take, and there's clear, confident, and clear violation of federal law. Maine Governor Janet Mills, a Democrat, announced the vaccine mandate in August 2021. She said requiring workers to get a COVID-19 vaccine would protect healthcare workers, their patients, including the most vulnerable, and all our healthcare capacity. Let me share this with you really quick, because that will debunk what Thomas Renz has shared with Senator Johnson.
Perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase. A thousand.
Ten times. That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that resonates.
83,000 per year, I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance on the corruption. That's precisely what it is. They know this. And Senator, when these doctors are attacked, not necessarily the people in this room, I'm not giving names, they call me. I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. Senator.
So that just to give you an idea of how it's not safe nor effective. Information had just come out recently, and I don't know where, I can't remember where I found it, so I don't really want to quote it, but the epidemic of the unvaxxed isn't true. So the article further stated that the U.S. District Judge John Levy, an Obama nominee, turned down a request for a preliminary injunction against the mandate. The U.S. First Circuit Court of Appeals upheld its ruling. Levy, citing the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, alleged vaccines help prevent COVID-19 infections and ruled that the mandate was narrowly tailored to serve the compelling interests of containing the spread of a serious communicable disease. So we just got done hearing evidence that the jab causes more issues, more harm than good. So that kind of, that just destroyed that narrative that they just said. Anyways, all that and more on this episode today. Hey, make sure you support Mike Lindell. He is with MyPillow because he is donating a ton of pillows to the truckers in Canada. So make sure you support them. Right now you can get sheets for $39. Where else can you get sheets? Really nice sheets for $39. I love my Giza Dream Sheets. Use promo code AMBER and save up to 66% off at MyPillow.com. So up next is Thomas Friends. Hey guys, it's Amber May, and guess what I have for you? I want to show you towels that actually work. Oh, they're from MyPillow. And right now, there's a killer sale going on MyPillow. When you go visit MyPillow.com/Amber, these are the softest towels, and the towels actually work. So I was trying them out at her house, and then I'm like, I gotta go home and buy my own set of towels. And since then, I've been switching all my towels to MyPillow towels. So, hey, use promo code AMBER at MyPillow.com/AMBER and get towels that actually work. Get a six-piece towel set, normally $109. Get it right now for $39. So, MyPillow.com, use promo code AMBER. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AMBERMAY, and save some money. Told you we're going to have a great show. We have a friend of the program, Thomas Renz. He is one of my heroes. I've been watching him for a while with Clay Clark, and I think his bravery is beginning bravery, and more people that have stood up and said, this is not right, is growing this movement to where we're seeing today. But Thomas Renz has a lot to share with us today. First of all, there's like a plethora of what we could talk about. We have a purging going on in the military. They say, you know, everything's for our safety and it's to be safe and the government cares about our safety. I don't know how that's possible when you're going to purge the military. Thomas, what have you been working on this week? There's so much. So where do you want to begin? Like, what is the hottest topic? You said you dropped some stuff at the judiciary. What was that all about?
Oh, man, we hit so much stuff this weekend. I think the judiciary stuff was really important. And what we asked was, is there bias there, right? The judiciary has an obligation to weigh evidence without any bias or predisposition on it. That's a critical thing. And in fact, everybody thinks when they hire a lawyer that their lawyer is going to try and pull something or get this in or get that in. That's not our job as an attorney. Our job as an attorney is to share the accurate facts with the court and try and get to truth.
and then to argue the application of the law before the court where there's a dispute. The court's job is just to interpret the law. They can't make the law. So it's critical, and this is how it's supposed to be, right? We're not supposed to be sleazy attorneys out there trying to trick the court or anything like that. You know, that isn't what we do. What we're supposed to do is just share. So if there's bias in the courts, that's a really bad thing, because how do you feel like you've gotten redress? You know, I think I can tie this in with what we see in the African-American community. We see, you know, people say, well, you know, there's no justice for the Black man. Well, here's the problem. I would argue that it's no justice for the poor man, because if you can't afford, an OJ defense, you can't get an OJ defense. And a lot of, unfortunately, the disparity between, you know, African-Americans and other populations, you know, is frequently more impoverished. So, you know, that's why there's that feeling. But look at the resentment there. There's a lot of resentment because they don't feel like they're getting a fair shake. And I understand that. That's why I'm a proponent of justice reform. But in this instance, what we're seeing is we presented data and evidence. We had whistleblowers from numerous federal courts around the country. And we presented evidence showing that, you know, for 2 years, the court has been the target of a tremendous psyops operation. The CDC has been lying to them, lying to them, lying to them. We've got hundreds of documents. We didn't share everything, and we didn't share everything from every court, because our intent isn't to try and undermine the courts. Our intent is to try and force a conversation. Is there bias? Is there prejudice? Because we can't have that. And, you know, we brought out things, and the one court that we focused on was the Southern District of Texas. There were some really egregious things that happened there. You know, we had the Houston Methodist Hospital case was the first big mandate case that there was. And that judge, you know, in that case, you know, he's a human being. I'm not saying that he's corrupt. I'm not saying he's evil. I'm saying he's a human being. And for 2 years, these guys had been lied to. Well, they go into this case and the judge says, well, the law is a rubber stamp. And I've got a quote in my presentation on that. The law is never a rubber stamp, ever. As an officer of the court, that's terrible. I mean, if Congress passes a law and the executive branch okays it and we've got a law, well, our job isn't to say it's a rubber stamp. Our job is to make sure that the law is interpreted and ask whether or not an agency did its job. Mm-hmm. This guy didn't. That's not respect for the law, okay, in my opinion. The other thing we see is we see in this court, I posted an email where this court actually said, we don't want any unvaxxed employees in the courtroom or in the chambers of a number of these judges. Well, how can these judges be unbiased if they've already made a decision?
Exactly.
You know, how can that be? And I understand, you know, it's a scary thing. We got a disease out there. You know, these judges are trying to weigh this out. But ultimately, justice has to be blind. Even if you are scared, you got to leave it out of the courtroom. You cannot bring that into the courtroom. But that's been one of the most insidious things. And then finally, we got the chief judge from that same court on record saying friends don't let friends go unvaxxed. I mean, this is an entire court. We got, you know, several things from the same court, all showing bias, prejudice, fear. And what I'm challenging my brothers and sisters in the law to do is ask yourself, are you being prejudicial? Do you need to recuse yourself from a case? Is what you're doing truly blind justice, or is there an issue? And I think it's pretty clear that that's a question that needs to be asked based on this sliver of what we made public. By the way, we have hundreds more documents, hundreds from the courts.
Well, doesn't this show how powerful the mind control really is? If they can control, because if you think, nobody really thought about it, where the one message was everywhere. Every time you grocery shopped, it was overhead. Every time you walked into the building, it was posted on the door. Every time you turned on the radio, every other commercial was, you got to get the vax. I don't know about your state, but in my state, we have been trying to fight getting the propaganda off the freeway signs that you need to go get vaccinated. And so it's everywhere. The propaganda was everywhere, TV, especially TV. And then they started taking information off the internet that was really good information. So they were scrubbing the internet. And so I like the mind control wasn't just over the population. From what you're saying, it sounds like even judges were susceptible to this mind control, where they didn't probably even realize that they were being controlled. I don't know. It's my opinion out there. I'm not saying this for a fact, but it sounds like the mind control is such a powerful thing that when you and I, or anyone who is trying to say like, hey, this is not science, it was so proliferated that it was hard to even get a court to even just look, just like it was with the voting. Just, we couldn't even get a judge, a court to just look at the evidence, because the narrative was, oh, there was no fraud. The narrative is, oh, this is so scary, the only solution is a jab. I mean, am I far off on that?
No, I mean, listen, like I said, everybody thinks that judges are magical beings that aren't human, and that's not true. You know, I mean, they've got families. They're, you know, they want to keep them safe. They want to keep their employee, you know, the people that work in the court may be their friend. You know, they want to keep people safe. And they were told for 2 years by a partner organization in the government that, listen, you know, you can, if you don't do this, everybody's going to die. Well, that's a really scary position. Now, the problem is, though, and what we have to ask ourselves as jurists is, I'm presenting evidence, strong evidence, that shows that the CDC is corrupt and lying. What if I'm right? And I am, but you know, if you don't believe me, you don't have to believe me. You can just give me a fair hearing and say, listen, here's a chance to show what you got. Let's look at this in the same way that we would look at evidence that we don't have an opinion on, because that's the job of the court. The mm-hmm. court has to remain independent and unbiased. Mm-hmm. And I'm of the opinion that there's a very good question as to what the standard is. So high, a judge cannot even allow for the appearance of impropriety. And it has to be that way to have credibility in the courts. That is a crucial, crucial thing. And when, you know, when I see statements, like I pointed out here a second ago, mm-hmm. that is at very minimum, at least an appearance of a bias.
Right.
And, you know, that really damages the credibility of the court. So we
are absolutely right. So where did you take this evidence to? If this is the problem in Texas, and that mandate that came out of Texas had effects across the entire nation. Every hospital in the entire nation was mandating every employee to get the vaccine, whether they wanted it or not, or to be fired, which also begs the question, if this was such a horrible disease, how can they even stand to lose one member of the medical staff at all? Like, how could they even, if it was such a bad disease and it was so scary, how could they even think that they could lose one employee?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, I think it was a terrible ruling. I think it was improperly done. And I think that we need to reevaluate it. So what I'm doing with this is I put that out there. Now, under the law and under the rules of ethics, you know, I'm taking some other steps, but I can't talk about the stuff that I'm involved in, mm-hmm. Because I don't want to interject bias into the work that I'm doing. I don't want that. I really don't want bias. I want justice. So in the stuff that I'm doing specifically in relation to this, I can't talk about publicly, but I put that out there because I'm not affiliated with that, but I see it as an issue mm-hmm. and I put it out there because I have an ethical obligation to. I would love to see the circuit courts down there, you know, take a good peek at what's happening. I think it should be reviewed. I think that the judge and the people in that case, you know, the people who are affected should ask the question, you know, was this case properly decided? I think it's a very important thing. I think that we need to do something to make this happen. I am taking some steps, but I can't talk about those publicly because, again, with regards to what I'm doing specifically, and I'm not taking steps in the Houston case. I'm not touching that court. But on the court where I am doing some things, those I can't talk about publicly because I don't want to risk there being bias or a perception that I'm trying to influence it.
And I wouldn't want you to either, because you've been doing tremendous work. You've been helping with medical kidnapping cases. I can't imagine what your phone call looks like every day and what your emails look like. I can't imagine. You probably don't sleep much. I mean, when I met you in Phoenix, you had the biggest heart, and I've been watching you for a while with Clay and stuff because he's had you on the show a lot. And speaking of Clay, and I'm going to put this out there for you too, we have two gifts and goes. The links will be in the description. Clay is fighting a lawsuit against Dominion. It's costing him a lot of money, and he's not one to ask for money. He will ask for money for everybody else, but when it comes to himself, he's not going to ask. So if you have a heart to help Clay out, Clay Clark, that'd be great. He's the one who's doing the Reawaken tours. He's the one who's putting all of his time and effort into like making sure there's awareness with medical fraud, voter fraud, election fraud, education fraud. And then also for Thomas Renz, because I don't know if what you're doing is for free or what, but I know on some level it has to be costing you a lot of money. And so there's a give, send, go for him too. And I really encourage you to give to Thomas Renz. In Phoenix, there was a collection taken up for him, but you know, money goes really quickly. So I'm going to put a link in the description for him too. So if you have a heart to give to these men that are fighting for you, for me, so we have these freedoms, then I would encourage you to give to that as well. So in the courts that you just dropped like a lot of bombs on, what kind of stuff, like, can you give like a general idea of some of the things that you put into the courts, or is that like, no, I can't do that either?
Well, I've got a bunch of stuff we can tell you. I would like to comment first. So, let me tell you how the money works on this. The pharmaceutical industry and the federal government and state governments that I've been fighting literally have trillions of dollars in their budget. Since this has started, my monthly budget has been between $20,000 and $40,000 of income. So I've been fighting trillions with $20,000 to $40,000. Now, we started to give send go, and people have supported us, and God, thank you. Thank you. I praise God for that. There is no, the more money I got, the more I'm going to fight. I'd love to have 1 million people give me $10 a month, because I would have more lawyers and we'd fight this so hard and it would be down and gone in like 5 seconds. But there isn't enough resources. We do need help. A couple months ago, I was real worried about keeping the lights on, but I'll fight this with every dime that I've got. I mean, a lot of it's came out of my personal pocket. And I'm not a rich man, so that's that. But with that being said, here's my order of operations. Clay has done a lot for me. He's helped us promote. He's helped us push. He's helped get the word out. And the Reawakening Tour is a huge, huge, huge blessing for America. Please support him. Please help him. That man should not be being attacked. He is a good man. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to tell you that the first thing I ask for before you give me a penny is give me a prayer. We live on prayer. That's what we get by on. And that is a critical thing. Without prayer, there's no way. I mean, the stress and the horrible things we got to see are far worse than, I'd rather be broke than have the kind of stress that we have to see. And God's what carries us through. So moving on from that though, so we are presenting, or in the process of presenting, a bunch of things to the courts, and we're going to present a bunch of things to our elected officials. With regards to the courts, we just put in that DMED data, and the DMED data is what it is. But, you know, they tried to claim, and this is funny. So the Defense Department didn't respond to Johnson and hasn't responded to the lawyers and hasn't responded to anybody. All they said is, they said to PolitiFact, which is, you know, I mean,
the wonderful fact checker,
they said there was a glitch in the database from 2016 to 2020. And so, you know, that's it. That's why there's a glitch. This is the biggest, that cover up. And by the way, they're changing numbers in the database. We've got that. We've been tracking it. We've been saving it. You know, we watch, they've been doing that. So this is fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud. Right. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you how this is working. So to believe that there was a glitch to believe that our data was wrong and that their proposed new data from 2016 to 2020 is correct. Here's what you got to believe. First of all, you have to believe, because they said the database was correct in 2021, but they didn't know about the error in the previous years until I did a whistleblower thing in 2022. So somehow, despite the fact that they didn't know there was a mistake. This database magically fixed itself in 2021. Don't know how.
Wow.
Magic. They didn't know there was an error, but going from 2020 to 2021, it was fixed. It just worked. Okay, so there's that. That seems a little bit far-fetched. Mm-hmm. If that's not enough, though, the other thing that you got to look at is the database itself. So this is the premier epidemiological database on the planet. And we have evidence that Anthony Fauci's team is looking at this. The health department, DHHS and CDC, FDA, they have accesses. They're watching this data. They said they are, okay? We know that every public health professional in the universe looks at this data because it's the best data there is. We know that the military has an entire division assigned to monitoring this database, a whole division. We know that there's a subcontractor whose job it is to maintain and keep this database up to date and to make sure it's correct. So there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of times this database has been reviewed, checked, watched, looked at between 2016 and 2020. They want us to believe that nobody noticed things being off by 10x. Anthony Fauci, who is science, who doesn't make mistakes.
He is science, yes, right.
Yeah, he didn't notice that this was off by 10x. Neither did anybody else. And remember, so think about this.
Do you think he didn't know or just didn't want, it was neglected?
Oh, he absolutely knew. They knew. They're lying. Yes. This is fraud. They're covering it up. But they want you to think that none of these people noticed this. They want you to think, so think about this. Imagine you're a public health scientist, right? An epidemiologist. And you're looking at this data. Well, you know that the rate of a certain disease, say cancer, and the general population of the United States is around whatever the number is, right? You look at the military database and you see, yep, it's pretty close to the same thing because that would make sense, right?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, they want us to believe that somehow these professionals who look at these numbers all the time didn't notice that there was a 10x difference in certain diseases. Mm. In this database that wouldn't mesh with what you see in the general public. It doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. It's absolutely fraud. It's absolutely a cover-up. And, you know, the final thing is if you believe that that these numbers that they're putting in for 2016 to 2020, if you believe the new numbers, the fake numbers that they're putting in there, then you have to believe that we have the least healthy military on the planet. That, you know, apparently we only recruit 95-year-olds that weigh 500 pounds because it's the numbers that they're putting in there are horrifying. And but they have to do this, right? Because if they can't change it going forward because they want to keep forcing our troops to do this. And when they see that if they said, oh, there was a mistake in 2020 or 2021. Well, then in 2022, when you see the same numbers, what are they going to do? Another mistake? Another mistake in 2023. They want to keep forcing, so they have to change the history. It's corrupt.
That's so corrupt. Yeah. And then going back to the narrative, oh, this is all for your safety. How is destroying the military for my safety? There's an enemy called China that would love to see America fail. There are so many countries, so many Muslim countries that would love to attack our country. In fact, because of the open borders that we have under the regime that we have in office, we have military age men coming into our country in droves. Okay, so if we are forcing our military to take an experiment that is harming their health, then how are the American people supposed to feel safe about that?
Well, more importantly, if Biden's going to throw out, I mean, we also dropped the data, the senior leader brief from the Defense Department last week that showed that 25% of our military is not fully vaccinated. So is he going to throw out 500 plus thousand soldiers out of our 2.1 million person military? Is he really going to do that? And let's not forget him beating the war drums with Ukraine.
Right.
I mean, this is a travesty. I mean, it's like he's actually trying to destroy our military.
That's exactly is what he's trying to do. Do you think he's trying to do it because they're trying to weed out the patriots and only want the yes men, like we see in Canada with the police, that are only the yes men, that they don't care about the people that they're supposed to serve and protect? They only care about protecting Trudeau and the government. I mean, do you think that's a possibility why there? I know this is just your opinion. This is not, but I think your opinion matters when you see this evidence. Could that be a possibility of why they're trying to do that?
I think that they're doing whatever they can to destroy or damage our military. But one of the things you got to understand about our soldiers is they're heroes.
Yes, they are.
And if you're willing to volunteer to take a bullet for your country, and the country says, well, you got to take this poison jab. Well, listen, I've already volunteered to take a bullet. You know, these guys, there's a lot of guys, you know, if they think that these people would betray our country because they're willing to put their life on the line, they don't understand what a hero is.
Right.
Our soldiers are heroes. And I think it's a miscalculation. If that is something that anybody's thinking about, I think it's a miscalculation because, you know, if you're a kind of person who'd take a bullet for our country, you're going to be, you know, if you got to do that, you're going to take a jab. I mean, you do what you got to protect your country. And that's how a lot of our soldiers are. So I think it's a miscalculation. The problem is, though, is that they are jabbing our kids and our soldiers. And, you know, they need us to do for them what they do for us. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll take a bullet or a jab for us. The least we can do is step up and make a call to our congresspeople and senators and others and say, you know, hey, let's stand for their rights.
That's a good point. I love that point because not only that, but, you know, you pointed out with Senator Johnson, the neurological issues and the fact that these are pilots going up in the air that are going to be in combat. And that's a scary thing to do, to think about. Can you explain to my people, my audience, why that is so critical about the pilots taking this jab?
Well, I mean, you know, listen, first of all, there's some questions about whether going up and down and up and down is going to create or make you more likely to get blood clots. You know, there's a lot of pilots, and they're covering this up pretty badly right now, but a lot of commercial pilots are dying. I mean, they're dying at a rate never before seen. Pilots are, commercial or military, generally the healthiest people out there. Mm-hmm. And because there's, you know, they're flying a giant bomb, so they have to do a lot of checks. We're seeing pilots dropping dead all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's a tragedy. So, you know, this is a real crisis. For our military pilots, you know, not only is there the issue with the clotting and from the up and down, and, you know, that's a serious issue. But, you know, imagine, you know, some going into a seizure while you're trying to fly a $40 million jet. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, having, you know, developing the shakes, developing, I mean, there's so many different things that can happen. You've got to be at your peak health to be a pilot. It is a demanding job physically. You know, just because you're sitting behind a flight stick doesn't mean it's not demanding. These guys got to be in great shape. Their physicals are deep and tough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a real disaster. So, yeah, even if you're flying $1 million drone, do we want our people spazzing out, sitting at the base and losing control of that drone?
No, I mean, because sometimes those drones have missiles or whatever to actually shoot at a target, and God forbid they miss it and go shoot at a school or a grocery store or someone's home. That's a major problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, these guys, we got to keep these guys safe and protected. They're flying. I mean, they're controlling war equipment.
Yeah.
We don't want someone, you know, to have some sort of an issue while they're doing that. I mean, right. For God's sakes, that's terrifying.
It is.
So, yeah, that's kind of where that is, you know.
So medical kidnapping has been a new topic. It's something I've never heard before until recently. And I think that you've been getting phone calls about trying to get loved ones out of being medically kidnapped. What kind of phone calls and what kind of things have you been hearing or a part of to try and help people?
Phone calls is an understatement. Phone calls, messages, emails, you name it. I have, you know, people find ways to contact. And I try and get back with people, but I mean, you got to understand, I get thousands a day. So it's not even close because there's just that much need. It's horrible. You know, this weekend, One of my good friends, one of the mama bears from Iowa, came up, and those girls are wonderful. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, you know, we got someone here, this kid, he's been, you know, severely injured and from this COVID stuff, and not COVID, but from forcing him to wear a mask during athletics. He got real sick. You know, can you help him?
Oh, was that the hypoxia?
Yeah. So, they were, and she asked me if she could show me a picture, and you know, I said, please don't. And she looked at me funny, like, what, you don't care? No, that's not it. And I explained to her, when I decided to open a quiet little law practice that was going to do nothing other than take care of some local issues, I did not expect, nor am I capable, nor am I qualified to be sitting in a position every day where I got to decide who I'm going to try and save their life and who I'm not. Mm-hmm. It's nonstop. If I spend 24/7, 365, I couldn't save 1/1,000th of the people that asked me to save their lives. I got to tell you, on a personal level, it's soul crushing in a way that's hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. I am not God. I do not have the capacity to determine who I can and should help. I think everybody should be helped. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be murdering people in hospitals, but that's exactly mm-hmm. what's happening. And over and over and over again, I have to look at pictures of people dying and dead. I have to look at families, listen to pleads, and know that I can't do anything about it because I'm one guy and there's not enough hours in the day. And even if I spent every minute of my day referring people, I couldn't come close to dealing with the need. Mm. Fauci created protocols to kill people. The hospitals have followed those protocols and in many cases done things even worse. There's a very clear, very easy path to fix this. Early treatment, all access to families, things like that, they can and should be done. The money and the power is preventing it. And it is sick. You go into the hospital and you've got COVID, they're going to try and get you on a vent. They're going to try and get you on remdesivir. They're going to try and do everything they can to kill you as fast as possible, so that they can repeat the process and get the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they get for everyone that gets put on remdesivir, for everyone that gets put on a vent, and for everyone that dies from COVID. It's a business. We have mastered the business of COVID death in the hospital systems. It's like manufacturing. You're a widget. They know just how to kill you. They know how to make it very difficult to prove in court, and they know how to leverage immunity that our Congress people have given them. And you know, right now, sitting on DeSantis's desk is a bill that continues that immunity. We can only pray he vetoes it.
Oh, I hope so. Wow. You know, it's interesting to me that the hospitals are getting incentivized to kill people instead of getting incentivized to make people better. So they get a payout if you get a COVID diagnosis. They get a payout for putting you on remdesivir. They get a payout for giving you on the vent, and then they get a payout when you die from COVID. How come we don't have a payout if you got a COVID diagnosis and you got that person out of the hospital within a week, you get a bonus? How come we're not bonusing that way? How come we're bonusing to hurt people and to kill people versus, let me give you a bonus. Oh, you got the COVID diagnosis. All right, then let's give you a huge bonus when you save that life. That's not what's happening at all. It's the reverse. Like, I'm only going to give you a bonus if you kill that person. That's right. Sick. Sick and twisted.
Yeah. And that's what our elected officials, both in the state and the federal government, are doing. You know, they could change this real quick. They could fix this real quick. All they'd do is pass a law that promotes early treatment and promotes intervention and promotes based on outcomes. Instead, what they've got is a law based on the more that die, the better.
Yeah. And it's weird because when the people go and fight these doctors and say, don't give them remdesivir, don't give them this, don't give them that, these doctors are not budging from the protocol from the federal government. And I don't understand.
Corrupt.
It's like, I don't understand this. Like, you swore to help people. You know, you have a Hippocratic oath. You went into this profession to save people's lives. It's hard for me to fathom that you've been noticing this trend for 2 years and refuse to try another treatment that might actually help a life. Like, it doesn't compute. And that's what I think is hard for people to understand about the hospitals, because it really doesn't compute with the traditional way we've ever thought of a hospital. You go there because you need your life to be saved, not because you expect the opposite. You know what I mean? It's been a really hard thing, a hard concept to grasp, and it's evil at the highest level. It's like Lee Dundas says, it's the new ovens of Auschwitz, because she's absolutely right, because they're not listening to you. And it's hard to get loved ones out of the hospital once you're in there. And she told me once, like, there was like an FBI agent, there was a chief of police that was trying to get their loved ones out, and they couldn't get their loved ones out of the hospital, and their loved ones ended up dying. So early treatment, man, go to, DrStellaMD.com, get your ivermectin, get your Covivites from there, get your budesonide, go to her right now, and then use promo code AmberMay, because you don't want to be in a position where your loved ones are going to the hospital because they can't breathe, because the chances of them coming out is slim. I've seen so many people that I know personally, and like you, Thomas, they call me because they know I know so many doctors in the fight, and like you, I can't save them. And it's hard to hear, because, you know, my dad died, not necessarily because of COVID, but he did die. And I know what it's like to have a loved one die and you can't go see them in the hospital. And that happened to me twice with people I care about. And so it is hard. And I don't even have like probably the 10th of what you get. I get like a very small fraction, because I'm just, you know, just from what my friends know about me. And they're like, hey, I have this going on, can you help? And it's really hard. And so I sympathize with you on that level, where even though I don't have the massive emails, the massive phone calls, I do understand on the human side how hard that is to deal with that. And so when I met you in Phoenix, my heart just really went out to you, because I know how hard that is for you to get those phone calls every day. And when you opened your practice, you had no idea what God was going to have in store for you, because there's not a lot of attorneys like you, unfortunately, because if we had more attorneys like you that would step up, perhaps more lives would be saved, because, you know, there'd be more of you to help more people. You know what I mean? So God bless, he chose you for such a time as this. He put plans in you. He put talents in you. He put a love and a beautiful heart in you. And I just hope the people listening to the broadcast will respond and help with your gifts and go, because you are a very valuable treasure to all of us patriots, because you're the one standing up in the gap for me and for everybody else. And I do appreciate your hard work. And you probably don't hear enough thank you. So I just want to say thank you very much. And the second I got a chance to talk to you, it was the biggest honor, because I really appreciate your hard work trying to go after the courts to make them fair, to listen to evidence, being unbiased, to try and help save medical kidnappers, I mean, as best as you possibly can, to protect the military. I mean, the list goes on and on, and all the things that you're out there, and your videos go viral, man, because people are so impressed with the knowledge. You're like, bam! And on top of that, here's this. And on top of here, here's more evidence. And it's so exciting to see a man who has all his evidence that's real truth going in front of people who can make a difference, like a senator or like a judge. So it's exciting when we see those video clips of Thomas Friends just bring the truth hammer down.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful for your kind words. It's an honor to fight the fight. It's a little bit tough to do some days, but it's an honor to fight it. And, you know, God's carried us through. So we just keep fighting, and we're going to keep fighting. And I think we're winning, but we have not won. We have not won. And, you know, the victory means that victory doesn't occur until there are a lot of people in jail, including accountability for your Facebooks, your Googles, your Pfizer's, your Trusted News Initiative, all the people who've covered up and acted as a marketing arm for Big Pharma. So that, you know, despite the fact that they know there's people dying, these people, they're going to have to be held accountable. You know, they're the Goebbels of the modern day. And I mean, we've just got it. We've got to hold these people accountable. We've got, you know, the Mangalas out there. I mean, this is just, it's sick, and we're not going to stand by. Well, listen, if tomorrow they say everything goes away, no more COVID, well, guess what happens? Millions of people are going to live with these jabs and the health consequences until they die, mm-hmm. which may not be long, unfortunately, but, you know, still, the idea that, you know, Biden and Fauci want to just have a yearly COVID booster, can't happen. There's got to be jail time. There's got to be true investigations, and we aren't stopping until there are.
I agree. I totally agree. I'm hoping that when this election comes forward, we'll have enough good patriots elected to help move that forward, because we underwent a color revolution in the United States of America in 2020, and we have a fake person in office because of this color revolution, because the highest law of the land, the highest Supreme Court, refused to see evidence of 2020. Refused, just absolutely refused, wouldn't see it. And you can't have justice when someone says, hey, there's a crime that's been committed. I have the evidence. I need you to look at it. And they say, nope, we're not going to do it. There's no justice there. So praise you, Thomas Friends, for trying to show our courts, hey, justice is blind. You need to see the evidence, because evidence is out there. And God bless you so much, sir, for your hard work.
Well, thank you.
We're winning, but and I think someday we will see people in handcuffs. And until then, we're going to keep fighting along with Thomas Friends. I encourage you. He has some great presentations on his website. I encourage you to go visit his website at Wrens with the Z-law.com. And it's on his home screen. You can see a lot of his presentations. You can see him at the Reawaken Tour. Are you going to be at the one in San Diego as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. If you want to come see Thomas Friends in person, then go to timetofreeamerica.com. Get your tickets now, because in a few more weeks, we're going to be in San Diego. So I can't wait to see you in San Diego, Thomas.
Well, thank you. I'm excited about it. It'll be a good trip.
So visit wrens-law.com. And remember, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's noble, think on these things. And we'll see you next time. I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company / Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community, and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American made, patriot owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company / Amber May, and use promo code Amber May to save some money.
Say, make money, money, make money, money, money.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Money makes the world go round. I'm the talk around town. Remy gave me the sound.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the Rilla.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the Rilla.
Hey, now today I'm going to talk to you about your money and how you're going to build wealth for yourself and your family. So I'm Amber May. Normally I talk about other things, but today I'm going to focus on your wealth. So when you have a traditional retirement, are you able to take money when you really need it? So let's say I've known people who really desperately needed a car, and so they thought the only way they were really going to be able to afford a car, because their budget was just so maxed out they couldn't afford one more payment, was to get some of that money out of their retirement account. And so that's exactly what they did. But can they do so without taxes or penalties? We're going to talk about that in a second. Other people get so overwhelmed with medical bills that, you know, they just cannot sustain their quality of life and pay all their medical bills. So what do they want to do? They want to go to their retirement account and pull that money out. Well, if you pull your money out of your traditional retirement, you're going to be paying taxes and penalties. Let me show you how, with us, I am with A&M Futures and First Financial Security, how you can take money out without paying taxes or penalties. It's super simple. With us, you can take out to 90% of your money and use it for anything. Whatever you want, you name it, you get to use it. Take up to 90% and use it however you want without taxes or penalties. If you want to know more about how you do that, just set up an appointment with me, Amber May, and you can do so at theambermayshow.com. I just need 15 to 20 minutes of your time, and I can show you how you can use all your money. It's not too good to be true. It's not, and when I explain it, you are going to understand it is not too good to be true. It's just our account is so much more flexible than your traditional retirement account. So if you want an account that's going to help you be flexible, getting your money when you need it without penalties or taxes, and you want sustainable retirement, then you get to talk to us at Amber May at A&M Futures. So reach me at theambermayshow.com, hit the contact button, and I'll show you how you have access when you need your money the most.